Our second reading turns us to the New Testament letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, the second chapter. For Christ's church and its members to serve as lights for the nations, we who are blessed to be part of that church are urged to continue to walk in Christ, not deceived by sinful human ideas, but firmly rooted in God's inspired word. We read from Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him by being rooted and built up in him and strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, while you overflow in faith with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, which are in accord with human tradition, namely the basic principles of the world, but not in accord with Christ. For all the fullness of God's being dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been brought to fullness in him. Christ is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done by human hands, but in the putting off of the body of flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with Christ in baptism. And in baptism you were also raised with him through the faith worked by the God who raised Christ from the dead. Even when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ by forgiving all our trespasses. God erased the record of our debt brought against us by his legal demands. This record stood against us, but he took it away by nailing it to the cross. After disarming the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them by triumphing over them in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the epistle lesson, Colossians chapter 2. I'll read the first two verses of our text, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him, and strengthened in the faith just as you were taught. Well, you overflow with faith, in faith with thanksgiving. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what a great Sunday this is, where we are invited and introduced to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What a wonderful truth that is. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to gather and be able to rejoice in that wonderful truth. A truth that fills us with new life. A life that we have by the sacrifice, by the death of the Son of God for us in our place to take away the sin of the world. What a wonder it is today. What a focus. Could there be a focus that is greater? And yet, sadly, how often we are tempted to turn to a different focus, to turn away from that which we might become tired of, might become exhausted with, because we know this truth so well. That was trouble both in Paul's day, and it's also a temptation that we face still today, to turn from that wonderful but simple truth, the life that we have in Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. Let's not turn from that truth today. Today and each day, let's heed this warning and encouragement from the Apostle Paul to us to be rooted in that wonderful gospel truth and to remain in it throughout our lives. Paul spoke to young Christians who had received this wonderful gift of life, that faith that they had in Jesus Christ as Lord. They learned to know what Jesus had come to do for them. They learned how they acquired this life that they have. Jesus died for them. He took their sins upon himself, and he nailed those sins to the cross. Yes, Jesus, in whom all the fullness of God dwelled. Jesus, who is very God of very God, took on human flesh so that he could be a sacrifice to make us the fullness of God. Yeah, those Colossian Christians were connected to Jesus and given new life. They were connected to Jesus in the miracle of baptism. Not an Old Testament act of circumcision of the flesh, which connects an old rule of God's gospel, of God's Old Testament covenant. No, they were connected through the circumcision of the Spirit. This New Testament circumcision that is for everyone, this gift of baptism that removes the sinful flesh from us, this gift of baptism that buries that sinful nature in Christ's death and raises up a believer, a new man, through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. These Christians just learned about that new life. These Christians were given that life as a gift, that life of faith in Christ, and what a life it is. But there were some who were trying to steal that life away from those Christians. They were trying to kill that life, destroy it, and take away as captive plunder that blessed new life in Christ. Paul describes the ideas that they were tempted to replace that gospel with. He says in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, which are in accord with human tradition, namely the basic principles of the world, but not in accord with Christ." First of all, Paul uses a verb to express the effect of replacing these ideas of Christ with something else. He talks about it as being taken captive. The picture is one of being carried away by something, like plunder from a raiding army. You become someone else's possession that is dragged away as a spoil. What a tragic conclusion it would be for a life that is given by Christ to be taken away by someone else's plunder. So what are these ideas that replace the gospel? How are they described? The first word that Paul uses is philosophy. Literally, it means the love of wisdom. And that sounds like a wonderful word, right? This human reason that appears that is common to man. It appears as something that is wise and good, but really it's the opposite. He goes on to describe it as something that is empty deceit. It is deceptively empty. It isn't really wisdom at all. It offers nothing compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How else is it described? It's described as that which is in accord with human tradition, namely the basic principles of the world, but not in accord with Christ. This is the wisdom, the human reason that is natural to the human mind. Things that the human mind naturally concludes, but which is directly opposed to Christ, directly opposed to the gospel. What a problem that is for us today. We can easily be tempted to think that there's another church that has more to offer because they go beyond the simple message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. There's so much more that we can be, so much more than we can do than this, just this base elementary proclamation of Christ crucified week after week. Don't you want more? Don't you deserve more? But look at what you lose. What a warning for us. Because these ideas, they come naturally to us as believers, too. We still have this human reason, this natural human thinking that is ingrained in our own hearts and in our own lives. It's important for us to recognize that thinking and to recognize that it directly opposes Christ. that it carries us away as a captive from the wonderful life that Jesus has given to us. Yes, this false wisdom, this captivating philosophy that is natural to our human thinking, that directly opposes Christ, of course, the greatest of all, which lives in each of us, is that concept of salvation by what we do. It's that opinion of the law, this idea that is natural to all of us, which stands directly opposed to the new life given in Christ, which is a free gift of His grace, the idea that we can gain this life by our own merit, by our own effort. According to the law, we are able to please God because of who we are, because of what we have done. That idea is so pervasive in human nature. It can easily drag us away too, to think that I'm right with God, that I don't need Christ any longer. I know that gospel. I don't need to hear it again. How quickly we think that we have graduated from Christ by something as simple as a confirmation. We've suddenly discovered everything. We've mastered it. We know it well enough. We don't need to be in God's house. We don't need to be following fellowship, be in fellowship with regular worship. We don't need to be strengthened in our faith through that gospel. My faith is strong enough. I am just fine because of what I know already. And so we stay away. But all the while, we are staying away from Christ. Staying away from that message of His gospel, His grace, His forgiveness by His death and resurrection for us. We're staying away from that gospel. But instead, what is our constant companion through it all? That empty deceit of human wisdom. The opinion that I am fine because of who I am, or because of what I have learned. And it drags you away. That natural human opinion about yourself continues to be confirmed in you, continues to grow and get stronger in you the longer that you stay away from Christ and His gospel of grace. And soon that life that we had is lost in death again. And we don't even realize it. Because I'm so wise. Because I'm so strong. What's the solution to that deceit? What's the remedy to such destructive human philosophy? It is. It must be what the Apostle Paul urges and encourages. He says, continue to live that life that you have been given in the gospel which comes from Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, he says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in Him. What a gift it is that you have. You've received it. It's your possession. You have this wonderful life. And the verb form that's used is that contains this idea of continual action. It's a present tense verb which emphasizes the ongoing action of the command. And what is the command? To walk in Him. Continue to do that. And the meaning of the word includes a great picture as well. It's to go about or to go around in a figurative way which is used repeatedly in the New Testament. It means to conduct your life in such a way, to make it a way of life, a habit of doing, a regular practice. This life that Jesus has given to us by His death and resurrection is a beautiful life indeed. It sets us free from our sins. It delivers us from eternal death in hell. It gives us victory, triumph over Satan and all of his powerful forces and accusations and temptations. Here Paul encourages us to make that new life a way of life for us, a regular walk and conduct in life. Well, how do we do that? Verse 7 goes on to tell us, it's a life rooted in this gospel. Paul says, be rooted and built up in Him and strengthened in the faith just as you were taught, while you overflow with faith in thanksgiving. Four verb forms the Apostle Paul uses to express this regular walk, this regular way of life, of conducting yourself. First, you're rooted in the Word of God. That's a beautiful picture. It, instead of replacing that regular habit of finding your strength in yourself and what you've done, you instead root yourself in that Word of God, what God has done for you. You can't be rooted if you're always on the go. You can't be rooted if you're always looking for something fresh, something new and different. You grow roots by remaining planted in one place. And that place is in that wonderful life of Christ for you. That's the same picture that Jesus used on the night that before he died in that sermon in the upper room, the vine and the branches. He said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. There, Jesus urges us to be rooted, planted in him, staying connected to him. And you do that by regularly hearing God's word, by regularly being encouraged by his gospel. The truth is that human philosophy of your reason and that worldly opinion of being right by the law, that's a constant voice with you, a steady influence of your sinful nature. So also must be the constant voice, that steady influence of God's word in you, his message of law to remind you of your own sinfulness, that you are not good enough. And then a steady voice of his gospel to remind you of his forgiveness of all of those sins by his work, by his death on the cross. And you should never tire of hearing that gospel. You need to be planted and rooted in that message to hear it again and again. The next verb that Paul uses is to be built up. Picture of establishing a strong foundation and a solid structure based on that word of God. Just like Jesus encouraged at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, build your house on the rock, he urged. That is, that solid foundation of God's word. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul also used that same picture there to that in that letter, as he said that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We need to be solidly founded on that word of God. And the result of that solid ground is that third word that's used, is we're strengthened. When sin overtakes us, we're strengthened in God's work of saving us from that sin as we remember his death on the cross to remove all of those sins. The Lamb of God who took those sins away from us. To remember that truth. That's exactly what Jesus encouraged when he gave us his Holy Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Again and again we come forward to the Lord's table, often, so that we may be strengthened regularly in our faith in Jesus Christ. His death to set us free from our sins. His blood shed for us on the cross. His body given for us that we might live. That's why we're right with God. Because of Christ who gave us this new life, which must be lived out repeatedly with a steady diet of word and sacrament to make us strong in our faith in him. And finally, that fourth word the Apostle Paul uses that talks about how we walk this life daily is the word overflowing, the fourth picture of continuing to walk in him. It isn't enough to be full of God. We want it to be coming over the top because we're filled completely full, and then we keep pouring more of this blessed gospel into our lives. That's what God invites us to do as he tells us to continue to walk in this life. And what does that overflowing gospel produce in us? It produces thanksgiving. A real, true, grateful life of thanks to the God of our salvation. Just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so you will continue to receive him. continue to be filled with His work, His life, His death, His resurrection, so that you can hold on to that life that is given to you by His death, that you continue to live that life that you have until death, until He takes you home to be with Him in heaven. What a life. What a wonderful life God has granted to us. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, His death is given for your life. Plant that life that you have received from Him, plant it firmly in that gospel truth so that it can grow roots and be strong. And continue to walk in that life each day, walking in it again and again as you overflow with thanksgiving to the Lamb of God who took away your sins. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.